after 5 o'clock. Earlier this week, UN scientists laid out a plan that they believe could help us avoid the worst impacts of rising temperatures. The report by the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change essentially calls for a revolution in how we produce energy and how we power our world. And one of the messages we got, as we do increasingly, if the world wants to steer clear of dangerous warming, then fossil fuels are toast. Well, it was interesting today in the West Australian Parliament where Greens member Brad Pettit put forward a motion presenting some climate change quick wins to be debated in the upper house. He joins you on the program this afternoon. Brad Pettit, good day to you.
G'day, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation to have, given that we, whenever we talk climate change, certainly our political figures talk about big emission reduction targets way off into the future and promises of net zero by 2030 or 2050. But you were suggesting today that there actually are some significant wins that we should be able to see and act upon here. What were they?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we're actually at an exciting time. This is actually at the heart of the IPCC's report, is that what's happened in the last decade is renewable energy costs have come down. I think they talk about an 85% reduction in solar, a 55% reduction in wind, and 85% for batteries. And all of a sudden, the solutions for climate change are with us. We've actually got the solutions in a way that's affordable. We can get on and do it. It was hard to do a decade ago, and right now at this pivotal point, we can actually do it. So you can actually get out there and, I mean, and I pick up a range of these from things like electric vehicles, so that quick transition into EVs, all the way through to electrifying our houses. And these sound like kind of low-level things, but one of the points that's made is that, yeah, put the household stuff together in terms of transport and buildings, and 42% of our domestic emissions here in Australia come from these quick wins, things that we could literally do tomorrow and actually change tomorrow.
Let's talk about some of them, because you have said that Australia was singled out recently as a holdout, and you consider WA to actually be the laggard state of the laggard nation. And let me go through some of these things. Let's begin with LED streetlights.
Yeah, so WA has, I think, some of the oldest streetlights in Australia left. We use what are called mercury vapour streetlights still largely. And if we were to swap these out with LEDs quickly, then you would reduce your carbon emissions by over 50% for those streetlights. Then you get huge savings. But the key thing is about these quick wins as well. Not only do you save over 50% of the carbon footprint of those streetlights, you also save local government's money, you save the state money because they don't need servicing, they last longer, they use much less power. Everyone's a winner. You just got to actually make the change. And the payback period on that we worked out was about 3.5 to 4 years, but the lights last 20. So it's one of those smart projects, get on and do it now. But at the moment we've got a program that was going to take, I think, the Peter Coburn worked out, was going to take Western Power 40 or 50 years at the current rate to change out those lights, which of course is silly, given it'll be smarter and cheaper to change them now.
Let's talk about a couple of housing issues. Firstly, retrofitting social housing.
Yeah, this is one that I'm really passionate about. And I think one of the key things, as we go through this quick transition that we need to do, if we're going to have, keep temperatures to 1.5 degrees, then we've got to make sure that we actually get the most vulnerable, the poorest households, especially those in social housing, to be able to benefit from that as well. I mean, one of the dangers at the moment is all the good things, like the electric cars and solar PV, are all available to people who are well off, but making those available to poorer households. And there's huge savings there for poorer households, but need to go through, put insulation in those houses, vent, so they don't leak in terms of air and you can keep them warm. But even actually going through and doing this in ACT in Victoria, putting in air conditioning with solar panels. And it's been worked out that some of those savings are around $1,600 for each of those households, which are living on very low incomes already. It's a huge change for them. They get a more comfortable house, but they also save money. So again, it's one of those projects that's a win-win, but we've got to kind of get on and do it if we want to save emissions and save money.
Andy Seradia, Perth. Brad Pettit, the Greens member of the upper house, is my guest, saying there are some wins that came out of the IPCC panel report this week. So when we talk about housing, so retrofitting social housing, but you also speak of new construction opportunities and the things that you think simply have to be built into those things. I mean, I'm assuming Brad Pettit, that we are building these things into our new homes. Maybe I'm wrong.
Look, unfortunately, you are. And we are still building some extraordinarily unsustainable houses. In fact, houses that we are going to have to spend huge amounts of money retrofitting to make them net zero. So everyone has agreed we're going to be net zero by 2050. I would hope that the housing that we build this year, is going to still be with us in 2050, but we're going to have to retrofit it if we build it to current standards. So it's better to get on and build it right now. And that means it's simple things. Face the house the right way. Put in good insulation, put in good glazing, all those kinds of things. Put in solar panels. But the key bit of this is that it probably costs about, they reckon, up to 2% more, but your house is going to last 20-plus years, and the payback on them is less than 5. But there's a role for government in this, to help people. So all these things are about a small upfront investment that pays for itself for a very long time. I mean, pays for itself off quickly, but the investment lasts a long time. And that's where I think government needs to step in. It's not just asking individuals to do this. The role of government is to help mainstream these kinds of new technologies that are available.
You mentioned electric vehicles a couple of times briefly in the early part of this discussion. Again, Western Australia does look appear to be a laggard state. I know it's one thing to say we'll have a network of charging stations up and down the coastline and inland, but the question about incentives to encourage more of us into electric vehicles, or you continue to subsidise things like e-bikes, just a willingness to look at transport needs, the use of electric buses rather than more diesel-powered buses.
Yep, and electric transport is one of the, in fact, the IPCC talk about this, is one of the great opportunities that we've got now. All of a sudden, electric transport is cheaper. So to own an electric vehicle now over the life of the vehicle is cheaper than buying the petrol equivalent. Of course, the challenge, once again, is it costs more up front. And there's lots of things that government can do. And like I even talk about some of the lowest thing. We're actually disincentivising electric vehicles at the moment. If you bought an identical car, let's pick a Hyundai Daytona, that's petrol, you'll pay $2,600 less stamp duty than the identical Hyundai that is electric. So we're actually kind of encouraging people to keep buying petrol cars, even though we know that it's actually better and cheaper to own an electric one. And WA is actually now the last jurisdiction in the whole country not to offer any incentives to buy an EV.
ABC Radio Perth, Brad Pettit, Greens member of the Upper House, is my guest. He's come up with what he believes to be some quick wins for the climate, including things like an expanded urban tree program, consciously seeking to expand the tree canopy. What was the conversation like in the Parliament today?
Actually, it was remarkably simple. I had a bit of a chuckle to myself. I got really good support from the crossbench, not surprisingly, but actually interesting also from the opposition. I did think to myself, it's not usual you'd find support in that. And look, and even the government, I think, acknowledges that there are some opportunities here. One of the frustrations, though, that we've had is that we've got a government that kind of feels like it's kicking the can down the road on climate action. That's actually why I was keen to have this discussion and say, well, let's get on with it. Are you going to be judged not by doing new reports or new trials? And one of the examples I give is electric buses. We're trialling one electric bus, but we're looking to order 900 diesel ones. Actually, it's about what you do and actually get on and actually make this transition now. That's what the IPCC said we have to do. That's what the climate science says we have to do. And something that WA can do, we just need a bit of a change in thinking. And look, I feel like it's starting to happen. I mean, obviously, I still get pretty frustrated that the government's going so slow, but that's my job in there, is to kind of hopefully inspire them a little bit, if not cajole them into moving a bit faster.
Brad Pettit, thank you. Really interesting chat. And I think there are question marks over the state government's policy in this area. You're with Jeff. This is the Drive program. For those of you who want to go after the football, Port Adelaide v Melbourne, go now. Don't look back. Go.